Thanks, Ben. I appreciate you and your team. You guys do a great job. As during my time as being a pastor, I've noticed one of the most beautiful events in the life of a young person is also the cause for the most consternation, and that's a wedding. What is supposed to be a joyous time often, because of all the intricacies that go into the planning of it, it can create what has come to be known as bridezilla. Have you ever heard of that term, bridezilla? It's where the bride, she gets so caught up and consumed with all the details of her wedding, she like devours entire human beings. It's given a rise to a whole new industry, wedding planning, where with people that's all they do is just plan weddings for other people. I began to think about bridezillas, and you know, the guy that co-founded Apple, he decided that he wasn't going to go that route. He decided he was going to plan his own wedding. Steve Wozniak, he had it all laid out. He planned out his dream wedding. And you can imagine, you know, the co-founder of Apple, what his wedding's going to be like, right? I mean, this guy had this all planned out. It's a grand affair. He had made such elaborate arrangements for the whole weekend. He had his private jet shuttling people into Northern California for the event. And, I mean, you want to talk about an immense cost. I mean, he had caterers and he had decorators and people that all they did was mess with flowers. You know, I mean, he had this all planned out. But despite all of the meticulous little planning that he put into the event, things began to kind of go wrong. The plane was overbooked. It got delayed. People were late getting there. The caterer actually got lost on the way to the venue. The food, of course, was cold. The ceremony ended up having to start late. I mean, it was just a disaster. What he found was that everything that he had planned and worried and fretted about came to pass. It turned out to be a disaster. He later admitted, though, that he had spent way too much time worrying about the little details of the day, and instead, he completely missed enjoying that moment, because he was so caught up and taking care of all the details and worrying and thinking about how everything should be perfect. That story reminded me about what we're going to talk about this morning, how worry can rob us of the joy that we should be experiencing in all facets of life. You know, whether it's a wedding or it's a work project or just simply the unknowns of life, you know. Worry has this little way of kind of creeping into our life and it's stealing our peace and robbing us of joy. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. You know, last week, the sermon passage that we went through focused on Jesus' command to stop pursuing what he called, quote unquote, earthly treasures. And then he followed that up by encouraging us to pursue the things that had eternal significance. He called those things treasures in heaven. And we kind of boiled that down, talking about the lure of material things here on earth and how they create conflict within our heart. Because it's just natural for us. We pursue more stuff. We pursue better stuff, where we want more influence, we want more recognition. All of this stands in stark contrast to the person that would say, I just want what God wants. That's why at the very end of what we talked about last week, Jesus' final statement was, you got to choose. You got to choose which master you're going to follow. You can't have it both ways. You will either follow money or the desire and the pursuit of material things, or you're going to follow me. You can't have it both ways. This morning's passage, it really A lot of times pastors present it as a standalone sermon, but you have to read it in context of what was said earlier. And this morning's passage actually continues to build out Jesus' case for us to refuse the pursuit of the riches of the world. And Jesus is going to address an often overlooked consequence that accompanies us and our emotions every time we pursue earthly treasures, material wealth. And so, you know, my guess is that almost everyone in the room has struggled with this issue. If you say, I've never struggled with worry, you're a liar. That's just the way it is. We all worry. I sat over there this morning and worried. Worried about saying something wrong or, you know, saying it the wrong way or offending somebody or forgetting what I'm supposed to say. I mean, guys, so drop this right here. Let's just talk. If you knew what I go through on a daily basis prepping for this right here, you would say, you need to listen to yourself this morning. Because worry is my companion through the week. I worry about you. I worry about how this is going to be perceived. I worry about covering all my bases. I worry about communicating clearly. I worry about all of the little things that we have in here. Is the heater going to work this morning? I worry about whether the computer is going to work right. Or I worry about, is the band going to be prepared? And so worry is my constant companion. I'm no different than you. But once again, Jesus is going to show us that the things of this world are really insignificant in light of eternity. You know, especially if you're one of those people, if you're one of those people who actually proclaim that God is ultimately in control of things, but yet you worry, this message is for you. Look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read through 25 through 34. I'll read through the whole thing together. So here's what Jesus says. Now remember, this is flowing right out of him saying, don't store up earthly treasures, that the pursuit of earthly treasures is a non-starter. It's insignificant. It's a waste of your time. He's going to be talking in reference to that pursuit. He's going to talk about the worry, not only of getting those things, but I'm thinking of it as the worry of how do we keep it. Right? So he says, here's what he says. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? I will pause right there and just let that sink in for just a second. Because I think a lot of times you've probably read that and just skimmed right over it. Let's read it again. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, of course, not. Verse 28. And why worry about your clothing? How many of y'all sat in front of a mirror this morning, checked yourself out, made sure you got on the right things? I actually can't leave the house until I get permission. And why worry about your clothing? I don't, because I've got a gatekeeper. Anyway, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, just so practical. There's two things that I want us to see in this. We won't be here very long this morning. Just number one, There is no benefit to worry. Now remember, Jesus, the thrust of what he's saying here, he wants us to change the way that we approach earthly treasures. During our lifetime, you know, we're going to find ourselves in one of two camps. We are either working to, and I stated this last week, we're either working to increase our kingdom or we're working to increase God's kingdom. Now, if you're in that first camp, the camp that says, I am all about me and increasing my kingdom, your mindset is continually upon acquiring things that are important in this world, which we kind of call material things. But it's not just material things. It could be influence or education or anything like that. That means that you naturally, because of that, it's natural for you to worry about how you can accomplish that task. If your pursuit, if your one life's pursuit is the earthly treasures, the first thing you're going to be thinking about is you're going to worry about how I can accomplish my pursuit of more and better. But once you get those things, the worry don't stop. Because the next worry is, how do I keep them? I've got them, now how do I keep them? Or you're going to say, what happens if I lose what I've acquired? How can I keep these things? And so if this is you, if you're connecting with me on any level this morning, if that's you, congratulations, your possessions now possess you. Because they dominate your thoughts. And you're spending your time being concerned not so much about heavenly things, you're concerned about earthly things. You're concerned about how can I make sure that I keep what I have earned. Rest assured, that worry will be your constant companion as long as you're concerned with the advancement of your kingdom. You will worry about yourself and your stuff. You know, treasures are more than these material things. They're more than your automobile or your clothing or your home or your boat or whatever it is that you've purchased. Earthly treasures can be people. Your earthly treasures can be something that's intangible. Your earthly treasures can be power. Your earthly treasures can be influence. There's a lot of people that's the thing that they really want most in life. And that's the thing that they treasure, is the influence that they hold over other people. Or maybe your whole thing is, man, I just treasure education. And I'm always in pursuit of knowing more and getting that next step on that rung to my PhD or my MD or my JD or whatever two letters or three letters you want to put after your name. You know, all of these things fall into the category of earthly treasures. And these earthly treasures, the pursuit of those treasures and the thought, how can I keep those treasures, will cause you to worry about things like, how am I going to find a job? Or how am I going to keep that job? How am I going to perform at that job? How am I going to manage this relationship? How am I going to stay healthy? Or you're worrying about the health of another person, or you're worried about passing that test, or you're worried about being accepted, or if, you know, this is a very basic one, you're worried about the future. I mean, it's just very general, just worried about the future. What happens when Trump gets in? You know, I was watching people last night on the television, and they was talking about the worry that's associated with the people that's attending the inauguration of a dirty bomb. Worry, 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 worry. We're constantly worrying, have I done enough? Have I acquired enough? Have I set enough aside so that I can retire? When I retire, will is my retirement going to last long enough? You know? And think about what worry does to us. Worry causes us to turn to substances, doesn't it? We medicate ourselves with alcohol or drugs or some sort of substance abuse. Worry causes us to make foolish life decisions. And those foolish life decisions lead to painful consequences. And guess what? Now you have something new to worry about. Worry causes us to develop extreme mental illnesses. I mean, there's all kinds of people that are on all kinds of medication for depression or anxiety, or there's people that experience panic disorders. You know why they have panic disorders? Because their worry has got to them. And they're panicking about tomorrow or what the unknown holds. Worry can even cause us to have phobias. Now, those things, I know, they sound pretty extreme and nobody wants to have to deal with any of them. But the fact of the matter is, it's an epidemic. We do. It's ongoing all the time in our culture. We're worrying about things that are, in the big scheme of eternity, unimportant. They're insignificant. Are you really going to ruin your health worrying about whether or not you get COVID? I mean, you're thinking about, I don't want to get sick, but I don't want to make my sick worried because I'm worrying about getting sick. We worry about things, and I just think about this. Be honest with me. How many times does what you worry about actually materialize? But what happens when you do worry? It's like acid, and it begins to eat at you from the inside out. And it actually destroys or creates, it makes the situation even worse. Now, look back at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says this. He said, I want to paraphrase what he's saying through that whole chapter. Jesus is saying, you're worrying about little things that have no significance in the kingdom. And he mentions two things. He says, food and clothing. It's like food, clothing, that's what you're worried about? Those are minor things. He says, if I provide for birds, what makes you think I won't provide for you? I care about you way more than I care about birds. By the way, the image came to my mind. Do you think there's any birds that go to therapists and say, God, I'm just worried about getting enough food next week for my family. I got to find enough worms. And birds don't go to therapy. Birds don't have counselors. They don't have antidepressant medication. The point we're making, I know I'm not trying to belittle anybody at all. I'm trying to bring out the weirdness of way we handle things. When Jesus is sitting here saying, those things that you're worried about, they're insignificant. I love you much more than anything else in creation. And look at how I take care of the rest of creation. If I do that, why wouldn't I take care of you? We need the basics of life. I'm not denying that. We need food, we need clothing, we need shelter. But you don't see birds strung out on drugs because they're overwhelmed with the thought of where they're going to get their next meal. God knows and God provides. And you know why He does so? Because He cares for us. 1 Peter actually says this. It says, give all your worries and cares to God because He cares about you. Jesus is constantly reminding us through this whole passage that worrying about insignificant things doesn't add one single moment to your life. In fact, it does the exact opposite. Instead of adding another minute to your life with your worry, you're actually subtracting a minute for every time you worry. You're moving backwards. How many of you can say, my life has been enriched because I sit around and play the what if game? What if my kid is in an automobile accident? What if I can't pay the bills next month? I mean, how many of you would say, my life is better because I sit around and think about those things? I would contend that worry, if anything, is a distraction. that whenever you're worrying about these insignificant things, what you're really missing is God's best. And if you would just yield to Him and live for His kingdom and make the things of His kingdom your priority, you're going to eventually get riches that will last an eternity. Not simply 50, 60, 70 years. So I would, my counsel here is don't be consumed by anxiety, worrying about the future, because the truth is you're fretting over something that you can't even control if you wanted to. That's a lot of wasted energy. Let's move on. I realize that many of you would probably, if we were having a conversation one-on-one, you would say, yeah, Jay, I understand, but you don't really understand. I'm just a warrior by nature. And believe me, I live in a household of warriors because they've said this to me. I'm just a warrior by nature. I can't help it. My mind runs 1,000 miles an hour and I can't stop thinking about the what if. And besides, this thing is really super important. It's almost like if I don't worry about it, if I don't expend the energy to worry about it, it's all going to go wrong. Really? I mean, I recognize that this event has the potential to change your future, whether for the good or bad. So let's assume that that's true. Let's assume that this is a big event in your life. Is your worry really going to affect the outcome of it? No, of course not. That's silly. Here's what I would say. If you're a Christian, there's a better question that you had better be concerned with. And that is, what does my worry communicate to God about how I feel about Him and what I believe about Him? So if you're taking notes there, number two on your note sheet, worry reveals what you truly believe about God. So I want you to think on this for just a second. If you're a Christian, you have received salvation by faith. And when you do that, faith actually states that we trust God to make good on His promises, such as the promise to give us eternal life and forgive us of our sin. But isn't faith contrary to worry? I mean, worry says, God, I don't know if I can trust You to handle the things of my life. Faith, on the other hand, says, God, I trust You completely to take care of everything. You know, worry essentially is us ignoring God's promises. So if you're one of these in the room this morning that proclaim to be a Christ follower, if you would say, I'm saved or I follow Jesus, what you're doing is you're actually proclaiming that you believe that He will redeem you. You're saying, I believe that God is going to break the shackles of sin that hold me in bondage. You're saying that I believe that God is able to keep me from going to hell and that God is going to put me in His kingdom and He's going to provide me with eternal life. That's what you're saying if you say you're a Christian. However, the presence of worry actually casts doubt on God's ability and His power. Because now you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're saying, God, I believe that You can do all those great things, redeem me and keep me from hell and give me eternal life, but I'm not sure that You're good enough or powerful enough to take care of me for the next couple of days. You tracking with that? You know, if God is good enough and powerful enough to provide us with these greater gifts, then why would you doubt His ability to take care and provide for the lesser ones? Especially like, what will I eat or what will I wear? You know, faith in Christ, you can't have faith in Christ unless you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. That means that you believe that there is no lies in the Bible. But worry reveals that you truly don't believe the truth of Scripture. Because when you doubt, you're doubting God's promises. When you worry, you're doubting God's promises. By the way, you remember when Jesus actually said at the last, where he said, how did he put it? He says, no one can serve two masters. You remember that? That's true. And when you worry, you're revealing that your master is really not God, it's life circumstances. You didn't know that you could be a slave to life circumstances, did you? But when you worry about the little things, little details of life, your master is no longer the God of all creation. Your master is the circumstances and the details of life. You know, I read a story recently Chuck Swindoll shared. He talks about a business owner who found himself actually ate up with worry. And he had started this business from scratch. And for 15 years, he worked and agonized over this business. And he worked tirelessly to take this business from nothing to rise it to the level of a major player in the marketplace. And the crowning achievement of all of his work was he looked out and he had built a manufacturing plant that covered several thousand acres. It was humongous. It was beautiful. It had every technological advancement known in the industry at that point. But you can imagine as his business grew, so too grew the demands on his time and the demands on his work. And so it seemed every single day some new responsibility popped its head up. It appeared on his to-do list, and his to-do list kept growing and growing and growing, and the man actually found himself overwhelmed by the worries and the stress of keeping all of these balls in the air. If you're a business owner, you're tracking with me, right? Because as a business owner, you have to keep a lot of balls in the air. You serve a lot of roles, and this man, when you get in that position, you worry about, I got to make sure that I don't drop anything. Well, one day, it just became too much for the business owner, and he made the crucial decision. He decided that he would finally give it all over to God. And so he there in his office, he bowed down and he prayed, and he said, Lord, from this moment on, this business is all yours. And I'm going to give you all the worry, stress, and fear that I've been experiencing. And God, I release them all to you. And from this day forward, you own this business, not me. Well, that night, the man went home feeling lighter than he had in years. And he went to bed and he slept better than he had in the previous 15 years. He was totally free from the cares and concerns that his business had brought to him over the years. He slept like a baby. But about 2 a.m., the phone rang. And as he answered it, you could tell that the person on the other end of the line was in a desperate state, and they were screaming out, there's a fire. Your plant is burning to the ground. So the business owner, he swung his legs over on the side of the bed, and he slowly began to put on his clothing. He calmly dressed himself, and he drove himself down to the plant. And he stood there with his hands in his pocket, just looking at the embers and the fire, and a smile. He kind of slightly rose on his face. Well, one of his employees saw what was going on. And the employee ran up to him and said, what in the world are you smiling about? How can you be so calm? Everything you've worked for, everything is burning to the ground. And the man just simply kept his smile on his face and his hands in his pocket. And he said, you know, yesterday afternoon I gave this business to God and I told him it was all his. If he wants to burn it to the ground, that's his business. You know, I think that's pretty sound theology. You know, when you have firm confidence in God, that means that everything that you have, everything about you, all facets of your life are in His hands. And when we trust ourselves into God's care, you actually learn to hold everything loosely in an open palm. And if God wants to take it from you, it doesn't hurt when He has to pry your fingers off of it. You know, why do we worry? I think we worry a lot of times because we're convinced that everything that we have in this life is a treasure, and it was all brought about by our own effort. And because of that, the only conclusion that we can draw is that because it was gained by my effort, it will be by my effort that I keep it. That's the source of our worry. It all depends on me. Is that wise? One more thing before I finish here. I want you to look at verse 34 real quick. Because Jesus says something that's beautiful. He says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." It's very simple. If you want to worry, congratulations. There's always going to be something to worry about. Every day, there's something that you can worry about. You know, I read a story this week about an old girl, and she was a habitual worrier. She worried about everything. And people around her noticed that everything in her life seemed to be going real well. But yet she still was worried, and it was consuming her. And one of her best friends went up to her and said, "What are you worried about? You've got a beautiful life. Everything is going so well." And she said, "I'm worried because I don't have anything to worry about." It's extremely unwise to worry about what tomorrow might bring. When you do that, all you're doing is you're just borrowing trouble for today. And you're adding to the chaos of what you already have to deal with. Just to wrap this up, I mean, everybody in here, be honest, you know that 99% of the things that you worry about never come to pass. And a lot of times we walk away and say, "What was I worried about?" I read a story about a man that before he'd walk in his home every evening, he'd go over and touch a branch of the tree. And then he'd go in for the evening. And every morning that he'd come out, he'd go back and touch the tree. And his neighbor saw him doing it and asked him, said, "Well, why do you touch that tree every time you go in your house?" He said, "What I'm doing is I'm hanging up all of my worries on the tree so that they don't affect how I deal with my family. And then whenever I come out in the morning, I take them back up." And he said, "You know the strange thing? There's always less than what I hung up whenever I went in at night." When you sense yourself begin to worry, I would encourage you to do three things. And it's right out of Philippians chapter 4. The first thing is pray. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything." When you feel worry start to creep in your life, occupying your mind, first thing, pray. The second thing, right after that, you need to worship. Here's what he says, "Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." You want to talk about the antidote to worry is gratitude. Instead of worrying about everything that could be going wrong, why not flip the switch on it and begin to thank God for all that you already have and all that He's already done? I mean, get your mind off of the unknown and the what ifs and think about the what has been and what is true. All right? He says, "Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." I mean, that's what he's saying there is there's things happening in heaven that are good for you you don't even know about. He says, "His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And the third thing, when you sense yourself beginning to worry, number three, think godly thoughts. He goes on there. He says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. You recognize that the opposite of worry is peace, right? We don't serve a God of worry. We don't serve a God of chaos. We don't serve a God of anxiety. We serve a God of peace. The Prince of Peace, who came and laid His life down for you so that you can experience peace in your own life. And so if you're constantly in this battle with worry, if you're one of the crew in here, one of my people, right, in here, one of my people that are constantly battling worry, constantly finding that as your companion, and you long for a change, you say, something's got to give. I'm taking this litany. I've got a pill package that I have to take every day. And there's 6 pills and 2 of them for worry and anxiety. I mean, if that's you, you know, and you want change for your life, I want to ask you a question. What is going to be a better change agent in your life? Continuing to worry or putting your trust in He who holds the world? If you're constantly plagued by worry, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord. So maybe that's the dynamic. I've largely been talking to Christians this morning, but maybe there's somebody in here that's not a follower of Jesus. Maybe there's somebody in here who has never submitted to Jesus and made Him Lord of their life. And you're still in my camp, and you're still a warrior. Well, Jesus actually made a promise to you. You might not even be aware of it. Here's what Jesus promised to people like you that aren't followers of Jesus, but yet you worry. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 11, He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and cast and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Let Me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I want to challenge you. If you're an unbeliever and you're a worrier, test Him on that. Try Him out. See if what He said there is not true. What do you got to lose? Right? What do you got to lose? Jesus will give you a yoke, but it's far lighter than the yoke of worrying about keeping your earthly treasures. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the care and provision that You give us. Lord, I'm humbled knowing that You care so deeply for me as an individual that it grieves You to see me worrying about the things that happen here on earth that are, because you see the big picture. You see how insignificant they are. So Father, this morning, may all of us who are in this camp, who have the membership card to the Warriors Club, may we come to the altar this morning and lay every single care that we have at Your feet, knowing that You care for us and that You will take them upon Yourself, and that we can live lives free, unshackled from the burden of this, I have to do it all. Father, I pray for those who are constantly finding themselves in a state of worry and anxiety. Lord, I pray that they would, after this morning, Father, I pray that they recognize that You care for them so deeply, so much more than the lilies of the field or the birds of the air. Lord, we give You praise, glory, and honor for the way that You have set this life up, that we can know true peace. Because we serve the Prince of Peace. For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.